We've been looking in the morning adult Sunday school. We've been looking at the concept of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. And right now, to start that off, we're on the gift of apostleship. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, you'll see that that gift of apostleship occurred after Christ's ascension into the third heaven. In other words, there was no gift of apostleship prior to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, which means there's another set of apostles, which we're going to look into again today. There was another set of apostles during Christ's earthly ministry. And we're in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 10, and he that descended, that's his physical death in the realm of his humanity, is the same that also ascended far above all the heavens. In other words, even in his human body, Jesus went beyond the created universe, beyond the third heaven where angels could not go, proving he is deity, even in a human body, that he might fill all things. And he, Christ, gave at that point in time some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, even teachers. Now, that means that there's another set of apostles that were during Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, it would seem, and then we'll look to the Lord in communication, it would seem that I'm up here just showing you two sets of apostles. But what I'm also showing you is, if you can see the reasoning for yourself, not because I said it, but if you can see the reasoning for yourself between the two sets of apostles, then you've unlocked the Gospels. And it's a dispensational difference. If you mix up those two apostles, I'm being very careful not to give you all the heresy that's out there. But most in Christendom have the 12 apostles that Jesus appoints as the office of the apostle during his earthly ministry. They have those 12 apostles, and then they know Paul is an apostle, but they know Matthias was picked in place of Judas, and they don't know what to do with Paul because Jesus very clearly says there's 12 apostles. So they don't realize there's two sets of apostles. But we're not showing you two sets of apostles, I want to reiterate, just to be different or just to overthrow tradition. But it also unlocks the concept of what's going on in the Gospels. And we're going to go back to that a little bit today. And then we should finish off the 12 apostles to the church. Before we do that, let's look to the Father in communication. Our Father, we do thank you for the fact that we can look into your word and we realize how precious the truth is there. And we'd ask as we look into your word that we get it accurate and we communicate that which you are communicating so that we can use that in our everyday life. So, let me say that again. It seems as though you need to know we're going against all tradition and almost all Christendom. But I'm showing you from Scripture these two sets of apostles. Now, the one we're interested in is the one of the church, and then we're going to hone up on a few. If you'll turn with me back to Matthew 10, I want to review something. In Matthew 10, this is the set of apostles during Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, these apostles, they're called apostles or appointed apostles by Jesus over in the book of Luke and in the book of Mark. He calls them that. You have their names in Matthew 10, verses 2 and 3. And 4. In 5, then you have the commission. Remember, the word apostle means one sent with a commission. We're in Matthew, the 10th chapter. So he's going to tell them what their commission is. And their commission is in Matthew 10:5, middle part of the verse. This is review, so we're going a little quickly. Go not to the Gentiles. Now, you can't get the church there. There's no church now. And nor to any to the city of the Samaritans. That's the half Jew, half Gentile. But go rather to the lost. Now, remember, lost, they had to have been found. They were in the place of blessing in the Old Testament until God no longer gave them revelation. That's the 35 years, I don't remember exactly, between Malachi and Matthew. It's the 400 plus years of no revelation to the nation Israel. At that point, they're lost. They don't. Now, they're going, but they're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here's what they were to do. Go and preach, saying the kingdom from the heavens has drawn near. In other words, their commission was to go out and say, Christ is going to be your king if you accept him. Now, they always took it physically when what he was offering was to be their spiritual leader. We'll get into that in just a moment, Lord willing. Now, there's one apostle that we dealt with last week. I can't remember where I left off. But we have the apostles to the church. Be nice. We have Paul. We gave several verses that prove he's an apostle to the church. Remember, there's 12 apostles to the church. We got that over in the book of Revelation. And then we had, let me make sure I get this right, Barnabas. And I gave you the verses for them last week. And then we had two apostles that are both apostles to the church, and they were apostles to the nation Israel. We're going to deal a little bit with this, with one of these, and that is with Peter, because Peter has his feet, as it were, he has one, this is figuratively, he has one foot in the Christ's earthly ministry, and one foot in the church. So these two are special. They're in both groups of 12. Now we want to deal a little bit with Peter today because that'll give us a transition. Now let me just say, if you read the book of Acts, Peter is, and a little bit of John in chapter 3, but in the book of Acts, Peter is very dominant up until the 10th chapter. Starting in the 10th chapter, then we pick up Paul, and by the time we get to the 15th chapter, James is the one running the church, the half-brother of Jesus, is running the church in Jerusalem. James becomes the head of the apostles in Jerusalem by the time we get to the 15th chapter, and Peter fades out. But Peter and John are the ones that transition from the nation Israel over to the church. Now we're going to go back and going to go pick up Peter, and then we'll fill in the 12 to the church over here. Let me just say, before I do that, remember the commission to the 12 during Jesus' earthly ministry was to go to just the Jews. Now let me show you the commission for the apostles to the church. Turn over to Ephesians, the second chapter. This is another set of apostles. Ephesians, the second chapter, and the 20th verse. This is what the second set will do, and we'll go back and show you how Peter makes this transition. And we're going to be dealing with a verse that most people won't touch. It's when Peter gets the keys to the kingdom from the heavens. Most people won't even touch that because it's kind of tough. Okay, Ephesians 2:20. And this is talking about the church in the household of God, verse 19, are being built. Now remember that word built, because that's a compound of the word that Jesus is going to use back in Matthew 16. Being built upon the foundation from, not up concerning, but from the apostles and the prophets. And the foundation is Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So the apostles to the church were to build upon the foundation of Christ. They are to build the church. Now remember, the imagery is that that Christ is the foundation of the church, and that each individual Christian is a stone in the wall, as it were, in that building. That's over in Peter, the first chapter, first two chapters of 1 Peter. Now, one other thing. Oh, let's do that while we mention it, and then I got to get back to Matthew 16. But this is, I love this stuff. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I did this last week, but I want you to really get it. Here I'm going to show you the two sets of apostles. Now, what I'm trying to do is I want you to be able to see this for yourself and prove it from Scripture, not just because I said it. That's very important to me. Now, over in 1 Corinthians 15, after you have the plan of salvation, then he says in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 15, and he, Jesus, after his resurrection, was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. Now, if you were following, you remember that the apostles during Jesus' earthly ministry were called the 12. Even after Judas takes off, they call the 11 the 12. Because that's called a syndicate. It's just the way it is. And then that's the first set of apostles. And then go to verse 7. Here's you another set of apostles. After that, he was seen of James. Now, James, this is not James the lesser or the bit larger. This is the third James. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. That upsets a lot of people. Let me give you the verse when people get upset at that. Go over to Galatians, the first chapter. I know, we got one finger over in Matthew. We've got one finger in 1 Corinthians 15. And now we're going to have another finger in Galatians, the first chapter. And the 19th verse. And of the other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now, in interpretation, I'd add one modifier to James. James, the Lord's half-brother. They only had one parent in common. Okay. Now let's go back over to 1 Corinthians 7, or 15, verse 7. And in the fifth verse, you have the 12. That's the first set of apostles. I didn't do what I instruct you. I didn't keep my finger there, so I have to look it up again. Now in verse 7, he said, I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, after that he was seen of James, that's the half-brother of Jesus, and then of all the apostles, that's the second set of apostles. That's the apostles to the church. It wouldn't even be good language to repeat the 12 as another set of apostles. So there are two sets. Now, if you go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, I'm going to show you how Jesus prophesies. Jesus is going to prophesy how Peter is going to be one of the transitional instruments in bringing in the church. And then I'm going to show you how he does it. Hyper-dispensationalists say that there's two churches. There's a church of the Jews that begins in Acts 2, and then there's a church of the Gentiles. They separate them out. Extreme hyper-dispensationalists will only read Paul's writings. We take it all. We just harmonize it all. And if there's any contradictions, it's in our mind, not in Scripture. Now, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, let me set you up for this. We're going to see prophecy, and these are future tenses, which means they're not happening while he's saying it. To do that, we have to do something that upsets people. But we're going to put our finger in Matthew 16. We're going to go back to Matthew 11. This is how you understand the book of Matthew. So what I'm saying is Matthew 16 comes after, chronologically, after Matthew 11. Matthew 11 tells us where the breaking point is, where Jesus, in the realm of his humanity, realizes that the nation Israel is not going to accept him as king. And here's your transitional verse in Matthew 11, This is a keystone verse in Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom from the heavens suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now that is a turning point. Over in John 6, verse 15, you don't have to turn there because I'm confusing you already. John says, writes that that's when Jesus in the realm of his humanity knew that he would not be accepted as king by the nation. And it's really interesting. Over in John 6, Jesus feeds 5,000. And that's physical. And the nation Israel, or the people who are there, say, man, we want this guy as king. We don't have to work anymore. I'm filling in the blanks. But if you had somebody that would feed you all the time, and you're in a society where getting the food for the next day is your biggest worry, that would be a pretty interesting conversation. And so they said, this is over in John 6, this guy's feeding us. What do we have today? Welfare. He's feeding us. Let's make him king. And by the way, the Romans aren't going to let us do this. Let's take it by force. Now, if the nation Israel would have set Jesus up as king by force, that's king physically, not spiritually, then who would be in charge? Well, if they made him king, then they could unmake him as king. Do you see? So that's a rejection of what Jesus was offering. Now, that brings us to the 16th chapter. And in the 16th chapter, Jesus, although he will still legitimately offer the kingdom up through Acts 3, I've shown you that. Those are legitimate offers. In the realm of his humanity, he realizes that that's not going to happen. And in Matthew 16, you have, let's get the context. Verse 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. And they said, some say that you are John the Baptizer, some say Elijah of the Old Testament, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, what they don't say is he's the Son of God, do they? And he said to them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Now, that's the Messiah come to reign. Psalm 2, Daniel 9. The Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. There's a switch of, there's a dispensational change in that verse. Now it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. During Jesus' earthly ministry, it was the Father. Now, what he's saying here is that you're the fulfillment of Psalm 2. Now, Jesus, knowing he's going to be rejected, in verse 16, is going to prophesy Jesus, is going to be the foundation of the church. We've come here and emphasized that before, but we're going to emphasize something different. But I say unto you that you are a little rock, Peter, but upon this large rock, I'm stereotyping this for you, pointing to himself, I will build. Now, you see that word build? That's the same verb that's over in Ephesians 2:20, but in Ephesians 2:20, Paul and the Holy Spirit add a preposition, build upon. So Jesus builds the foundation, and the apostles build upon. Do you see? There's a change in the word. Upon, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And the reason for that is Christians do not go to Hades, Upper Sheol, the way Old Testament saints did. Now let's go to the next verse, which most Baptist churches will ignore, but we don't ignore any verse in the Bible in this church. This is where the popedom comes from. But let's see if he says to Peter, you can be pope. Turn to Matthew 16, verse 19. I will. Do you see the word? Oh, by the way, I forgot to emphasize that. Back in verse 18, I will, that's a future tense. So he's not building it then. According to the book of Ephesians, he couldn't start the church until he went home to be resident on the right hand of God the Father on his throne. Verse 19, Matthew 16. I will, in the future, give unto you, singular, one person, that's Peter, the keys to the kingdom from the heavens. Now, the nation Israel had rejected Jesus as a spiritual king and had tried to set him up as their physical king. Let me emphasize that even more. Let's go over to John 18, I believe it is. Go to John 18. I think it is. It's on the right hand. No, it's John 19. No, it is 18. John 18, verse 36. This is when Pilate was inquiring Jesus. And what Jesus is going to say here is, look, what I'm offering is a spiritual kingdom. Actually, to be very precise, the kingdom from the heaven is the kingdom of profession. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of possession. Okay. John 18:36. Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. When they were going to set Jesus up as king by force, what would that be? Of this world. If my kingdom were out of this world, then would my servants fight? He didn't want them to fight for the kingdom. They were to accept it. If the nation Israel would have just accepted Jesus as king as their spiritual leader, then God would have taken care of the Roman rule. My servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. So the kingdom from the heavens that he was offering was not a physical rule per se. It was, if he was their spiritual leader, then it would be a theocracy after that. But they couldn't just set him up physically. Back over to Matthew 16, verse 19. I will give unto you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom from the heaven. And who's, now this is where they get it wrong. There's a what's called a perfect periphrastic, which means it's already done. But Peter's going, let's do it this way. The picture here is that the room is already set and all that Peter's got to do is open the door and then people in that room will come through. But they're already in the room, if you get what I'm saying. In other words, the people that are going through the door are already set up to go through the door. All Peter's got to do is open the door. In other words, he's an agent. Now watch how I read verse 19. And I, Jesus, will give unto you, Peter, the keys, plural, and the reason I'm going to tell you, there's one key for the Gentiles and one key for the Jews, and I'm going to show you that. The keys to the kingdom from the heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth already has in the past, with the results that they still are bound in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. In other words, Peter is not going to decide who's going to be saved. He's going to be the agent to who's going to lead those people to the Lord. Now, let's see him exercising the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. Go with me to Acts. Go to Acts, the second chapter, and this is the keys to the Gentiles, or excuse me, to the Jews. Verse 32. Acts, the second chapter. Well, let's just say, because of time, verses 32 through 36 in Acts, the second chapter, talk about Christ's resurrection, talk about his exaltation, and talk about his physical death. You have the plan of salvation there. Why am I saying that? There are people today saying in Christian circles, Rich, you keep going to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 as the plan of salvation, but when I read the book of Acts, I don't see Paul using 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He uses the same facts. He doesn't use the exact same language, okay? So the facts of, okay, let's do it. You got him raised from the dead in verse 32. You got him exalted in verse 33. You got him as sitting on the right hand of the Lord, verse 34. And now down in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, change your mind concerning Jesus, and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Jesus Christ because of the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here Peter is unlocking, he's taking his key, and he's unlocking salvation, profession, for the nation Israel. How do I know that's the nation Israel? Go back to verse 5 of Acts 2. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, godly men, out of every nation under the heaven. So these he was talking to the Jews who were Old Testament saints. That's why he tells them to change your name, change your mind concerning Jesus. Why? Because in the Old Testament, there's only one God. In the New Testament, there's one God, but three persons. So they have to add a person to their Godhead. In other words, they had to believe Jesus was deity. That's the keys to the nation Israel. Now let me show you the keys to the Jews. The key, I said it wrong. The key, there's keys, one to the Jews and one to the Gentiles. The one to the Gentiles is over in the 10th chapter of Acts and the 34th verse. Then Peter opened his mouth and perceived. This is very important. This was very hard. In this down in this context, Peter is given a vision of what's called unclean animals under law. And Peter says, get those out of my... Well, I'll read his... He says that he doesn't want any part of it down in verse 13. And because in the vision, he's supposed to eat these unclean animals. Let's make it real. Let's say a pig was there and... Peter's been told in the vision to kill the pig and eat it. And Peter says, no way. It had to happen to him three times. And this was a vision that eventually, down in verse 17, is called a vision, is going to force Peter, because at the same time, God is dealing with a guy named Cornelius, and it's going to force Peter to go over to see Cornelius, who's a Gentile. That brings us to verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And you can put in your Bible now, that's not true until Acts 2. I just showed you a verse that Jesus said during his earthly ministry, don't go to the Gentiles. It's not until Acts 15 that they... in Jerusalem, recognize that God has called most of his people out of the Gentiles. That's a seminal verse as well. Verse 35, but in every nation, the one that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of God, him. The word which God sent unto the sons of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That verse tells you how he started off his ministry, but after the rejection of the nation Israel, now turns to the Gentiles. Keep your finger here and go over the 15th chapter. Let me show you that verse again. The 15th chapter of this was hard for James to internalize. Acts 15, verse 14. Simon Peter hath declared how God... at first did visit the Gentiles, begin to visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So the majority of the church now is made up of Gentiles. That takes us back to the chapter 10, which is the first Gentile to be saved after Christ's cross work. Back over to chapter 10, and we want to go down verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in Christ shall receive remissions of sins. Now watch, verse 44. And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all that heard. The word heard means heard and actually believed, internalized, akouo. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which had already believed, were astonished, as many as them came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was an outward demonstration in this context that the Gentiles could be saved too. So what we're saying, long story short, Peter is one of the 12 that go to the nation Israel, but now after Matthew 16, Jesus gives Peter the keys to unlock verse 16, the church. Remember, it's prophecy. It's not during his earthly ministry. And Peter, who has one foot in Jesus' earthly ministry and then one foot in the dispensation of grace, Peter is going to be the one that unlocks salvation for, or opens the door, it'd probably be a better analogy, with the keys for the nation Israel in. And those are people being transitionalized over from Old Testament sainthood into New Testament sainthood. So what we're showing you is, this is the crux of the matter. By keeping these two sets of apostles straight, we know the difference between the office of, I didn't mention that. We could spend, but it's not that profitable to spend the time. But we could spend time and show you in the Gospels how that, let's just do a tiny bit of that. Let's go back to Matthew 10. This is the commission to the ones of the apostles. Now remember, Judas is here. And Judas was such a good apostle to the nation Israel that the other 11 apostles elected him to be treasurer. Now you don't elect somebody to be treasurer, Jan's gone so we can talk about him, unless it's somebody you really trust. You don't put a scoundrel in your tree. Well, unless you're Little League, sometimes they do that. But you usually, the treasurer is one of your most honorable persons that you put in that job. Now, Judas is in the office of treasurer, and look what, in Matthew 10, look what these guys do. All the 12 apostles, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons freely as you receive, freely give. That includes Judas. Now, if Judas was going out and he couldn't heal anybody and all the other 11 healed anybody, they wouldn't have elected him to be treasurer. What I'm doing is showing you the difference between the office and the gift. The gift of apostleship will have different criteria. I'll just be real honest with you. One of the things that apostles to the church can do that they couldn't do to the nation Israel, the apostles to the church, well, we saw it over in Ephesians 2:20, have revelatory ability to reveal New Testament truth. So I think I know where I was. So we have these four that we've already, there's all kinds of verses for Paul being an apostle. Barnabas, let's see if I can give you, that's Acts 14:14. John is by inference. We get John, I'm honest with you, we don't actually have a verse that says John's a New Testament apostle, but his writings certainly demonstrate the revelatory power and ability of an apostle. Also, we have him associated as being, in Galatians, the second chapter, as being one of the pillars of the church in Jerusalem, right up with James, there's another, and Barnabas. And you have both John and Peter in the third chapter. In the third chapter, you have a guy that gets, I think he was blind of Acts. I think he was blind. Both John and Peter are there. And the blind man, when he gets healed, I think it was blind. Somebody got healed for something in Acts, the first part of the third chapter. And the guy doesn't just come up and thank Peter. He thanks John, too. So John apparently was demonstrated that. I would hold that that's not in question. Then we have Jude. Did I prove Jude and James to you last time? I can't remember. I forgot the mark. Okay, let's prove John, Jude, and James together then. Now these guys. Now remember, Jude, Judas, and all, those are all just different endings, different case endings on the same name in the New Testament. These guys are special. Let's take them together because these are the two half-brothers of Jesus. We'll abbreviate it, half-bro. And so let's prove those guys, and then we'll have those two together. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You know, it's really interesting. I know he's in the incantations that are said on the rosary. But after you don't see Joseph too much after the first chapter of Matthew. But he stuck around long enough to have at least two daughters and four sons. But other than that, you don't see it. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter and verse 7. Oh, okay. That would seem to indicate James is an apostle. There in verse 7. Because in verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, and last of all, the all there goes to the New Testament apostles, was seen of me. Paul was the last New Testament apostle. All the other New Testament apostles got their gift in Acts 2. Paul doesn't get his until Acts 9. And he doesn't know that he has the gift until Acts 15. We'll get to that eventually. Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. Now let's go over to, let's see, Galatians 1:19. I think we already referred to that. Galatians 1:19. And then we'll go to 2:9. But of the other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So that documents that James is a New Testament apostle. Now while we're in Galatians, go over to 2:9. And when James, Cephas, that's Simon, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace, that's the gift, grace, and that's, we'll get back to this, they gave to him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Barnabas is a New Testament apostle. Peter's a New Testament apostle. We gave you several verses on that. If you need one, 1 Peter 1:1 will tell you he's an apostle. And James. So in that context, I would take it that that indicates James is an apostle. Now, how do we get Jude? Let's go back over to 1 Corinthians 9:5. 1 Corinthians 9:5. And we also are going to rely on the fact that his contemporaries accepted the book of Jude as inspired scripture. Go back to 1 Corinthians 9:5. Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, such as or as the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? So you have two brothers of the Lord that were apostles. You have to have Jude be that one apostle. Go back to Matthew 15:30. Is it 15? Yeah, Matthew 13:55. And here's Jesus' four half-brothers. In verse 55, James, who we know is an apostle because we got a verse that says he is, Joas, or that's the form of Joseph, don't hear any more about him. So we don't think that he's the apostle, but Jesus had at least two half-brothers that were apostles. And Simon, we don't hear any more about him, except we do hear about him in Acts 1:14. He is in the upper room right after. And Judas, or Jude. So we would take, putting all that, that's called inductive reasoning, that since you don't hear about Simon, and you don't hear about Joseph, his half-brothers, that Jude, and also Jude in the book of Jude, shows the results of the gift of apostleship in Revelation. So we would say, quite frankly, that he was an apostle to the New Testament church. Now, if you go over to 1 Thessalonians 1, we're going to pick up Timothy and Silvanus as apostles. 1 Thessalonians 1. Now, remember, apostleship means sent with authority. You've got to be careful. Jesus wasn't up in the book of Hebrews. Jesus is called an apostle of God. So it depends who sends them and who they're sent to. And we're being very careful. These are apostles of Jesus Christ sent to the church. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God, Father, and in Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously, if they're apostles, they're to the church. Now let's go over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the sixth verse, where he's going to call the people that are with him apostles. So what I'm saying is, this is where we're going to pick up two more apostles. This reminds me of that sign, plan ahead. It doesn't look like we could get 12 on here, but we will. We're going to pick up Silvanus, and we're going to pick up Timothy. In 1 Thessalonians 2:6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, yet of others, when we might. When we might have been burdened as. Now that the word "as" there is not in a simile; it's like in a temporal sense. You could translate it while or as we are. We don't always use the word as a simile of speech. We can say as I was walking down the street. That's this kind of temporal way here. As the apostles of Christ. So the apostleship here of Timothy and Silvanus is prescribed of Christ. Christ is the one that sent them, and he sent them to the church. So we pick up two there. Now, the next one are very guys we never hear about. And then we're going to... did I leave out somebody? Barnabas, John, Peter, James, Jude. Okay, so let's go 9 and 10. Oh, I did leave out one, Titus. Let's get Titus first. Yeah, 9 is Titus. Let's go over for Titus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:23. 2 Corinthians 8:23. Second Corinthians 8:3. Whether do we inquire of Titus? He is my partner. That word for partner is share in common, and fellow worker concerning you. So this is to the church. Or our brethren be inquired of. They are the... Now you see that word messengers? That's in the original, that's the word apostles to the churches and the glory of Christ. So you don't get it in the English, but if you have somebody with an interlinear, you can see I'm telling you true, that here Titus is called an apostle to the church. And that's why he's got a book written to him by Paul. Now, as you're turning to Romans 16, I'm going to give you the last two we can document. This is 10 and 11. And this is, I'm not going to pull his full name up here, Andronicus. We'll just call him Andron. And Junia. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in time in Christ before me. So that's Romans 6, verse 16, verse 7. So now we have 11 apostles. But we know there's 12 because over in Revelation it tells us there's 12. Now, I'm going to give you the possibilities, but I can't prove any of these. And let's do it very quickly. It possibly could be Apollos. One of the possibilities is Apollos. And you have him all over the book of 1 Corinthians 3 where he says that I planted and Apollos watered. And then you have several times in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4 where Apollos seems to be up on the level with Paul. If you'll turn to, it's Colossians 2:25, I think it is. You have another one, but I don't think this is correct here. Is it Ephesians? No, it's Ephesians 2:25, I think. Something 2:25. No, there's no such thing as Ephesians 2:25. There's a guy named Epaphroditus. Where is that? I know where it is on the... there it is. It is in Colossians. It's in Philippians 2:25. Philippians 2:25. 2:25 stuck in my mind. The book didn't. Philippians 2:25. Yet I suppose it's necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but you're... Now here is the word apostle. But it doesn't say apostle of Christ. Do you see the difference here? It says he's apostle or sent with a commission of that church that he's writing to at Philippi. So the language here doesn't support that he is an apostle, although it's a possibility, I'm telling you. It seems to indicate that he was an apostle for that church. The other possibility is Silenus, but that could also be this same guy here with a different form on his name. Fourth possibility for this 12th spot is John Mark, because he wrote a gospel. But I would take, if I had to lay money, and I don't bet, I think the strongest possibility of the 12th apostle is Luke, because of he wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote the book of the gospel of Luke. So what we're trying to show you, we're not trying to get too esoteric. If we can keep separate that the concept of apostle is sent with a commission, these guys are the ones that laid the foundation of the church. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, it said they had to physically see the risen Christ, which means after the first generation, you can't have any more apostles. And you don't have to worry about Paul. Paul isn't the 13th apostle. Paul is the 12th apostle to the church. He said he's the last in time. Different commission, different dispensation. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We appreciate the exactness of it, and we realize that we have our limitations as finite beings in understanding your word, but we realize also that we understand as much as you want us to by the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. Amen.